Joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Bill Cadigan. He's an attorney. He's also a chairman of the Illinois State Board of Elections. And it's been a busy week at the Illinois State Board of Elections. It's like tax time for an accountant over there at the State Board of Elections, with last Monday marking the first day of filing for the March 20th primary elections. Yep. And now the deadline tomorrow, 5 o'clock, for candidates to file. I know you were down there taking a look at things, as chairman, kind of taking it all in.
Right. No, it's nice to be here, Rick. Thank you for inviting me. And, yeah, it has kind of an opening day feel to it when you go down to that line where people line up at our office in Springfield to file their nominating petitions. As of Friday at 5 p.m., there were 564 candidates that had filed for various offices. There was probably about 400 in line on last Monday morning when I was there, and they had started lining up the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So it's a lot of fun. It's an important date that gets the process of the formal election season going.
And you noted that there were a number of candidates that actually showed up themselves. I mean,
sure,
staff can, political staff can file petitions. The candidate doesn't actually have to be there. But a lot of candidates do show up, and they take part in kind of this as well.
Absolutely. It's a good opportunity to motivate supporters to come down and be part of it with you. And I talked to a lot of them. I talked to a lot of the statewide candidates and members of the General Assembly that were there with staff. The members of the General Assembly literally come in with pallets full of petitions because they have so many to file. There's 177 members of the General Assembly, and all the members of the House are up, and a third of the Senate. So it's a long process for them.
And it's a good, and it's a photo op and all that.
Absolutely.
But there's media out there too to take in the long lines.
And the weather was great.
Well, yes. And I will say there have been days where I would just stay in my car as long as possible before I had to get out and trek over there, just because of the temperature drops and snow or ice down in Springfield.
Sure.
But what does the board actually do in Illinois? For most states, it's the Secretary of State's office that runs elections. What does the board actually do? And I can't say that necessarily, do you really run an election?
No, we don't. Actually, the elections are run by the local authorities, so the county clerks and local election authorities. The State Board of Elections was established in the 1970 Constitution, and we oversee basically, those local authorities in the administration of elections. We oversee the campaign finance disclosure laws. It's evenly composed of Democrats and Republicans. The chairmanship rotates every 2 years between Democrats and Republicans. I became chairman on July 1st, and I'll serve a 2-year term as chairman. We meet once a month, to hear disclosure cases, complaints, and to issue rulemakings. Our meetings are held here in Chicago and down in Springfield. And our staff, we have staff in both Springfield and Chicago.
Now, the mere fact of filing petitions doesn't guarantee you're on the ballot.
No, as we should have kept Hooley in here, because I'm sure he's got some great objection stories. But what then happens is, in a lot of cases, those petitions get filed and scanned, and they can be copied, and political opponents get copies of those, and they start scouring them for errors or unregistered voters or other technical problems that would get a candidate knocked off the ballot, or that we wouldn't certify them for the ballot.
And a good election attorney is worth their weight in gold.
Yes, and can help a successful objection, can help launch a career. You might remember there was a young community organizer from the south side of Chicago who, in, I think, 1996, knocked three of his opponents off the ballot and had a clean run through a Democratic primary into a state Senate seat, where he served before being elected U.S. Senator, and then was the 44th President of the United States. So Barack Obama started his career
knocking Alice Palmer off the ballot.
That's exactly right. Alice Palmer, who became, I believe, one of Hillary Clinton's most ardent supporters during the 2008 campaign. But and another objection, we maybe should have kept Hooley in here, but Mayor Emanuel, in that 2010 campaign, his residency, because he had become President Obama's chief of staff, He moved his family to Washington. There was an allegation that he abandoned his residency here in Chicago, and there was a five-day-long hearing over in the bottom of the Daily Center that was some of the best political theater you've ever seen. Because I don't know if you remember that, but that hearing, there were members of the public that were permitted to come and question now Mayor Emanuel about what was his intent, and the story that he had kept his wife's wedding dress in the crawl space right. of the home and other items. And so obviously that worked out in his favor as well. But the technical rules are one that have to be strictly followed, and not just for their own sake, but elections are events that have a beginning and an end, and that calendar is kind of unyielding. We can't, there's never been an election date that I know that's been postponed because of these sort of technical ballot access rules.
In fact, I think the most significant change came in the issue of, in recent time, was the Roland Burris special election
right.
that made actually a two simultaneous U.S. Senate elections, one to finish out the
right, a month
term of right. Obama, and then to start the six-year term afterwards that Mark Kirk won.
Right.
As I said, filing petitions is not the end story, but you have this rush to come in at 8 a.m. on the first day of filing. There's also a rush of people coming in for the 5 o'clock to want to be the last one on the ballot, too.
Right, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One, they just may need the time, and I think in this fourth congressional race, it may be that you know, there are people running for that are maybe gathering petition signatures today so that they can file tomorrow. The other reason is tactical. They may want the last ballot position. And it's believed that candidates that have the first ballot position and last ballot position may do better. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but so there's people that show up between 4 and 5 tomorrow will be put in a lottery for the last position, and the people that were in line at 8 o'clock on Monday will also be put into a lottery for the first position.
Who runs the lottery?
The State Board of Elections staff, and it's conducted, I believe, in Springfield, and it's kind of a fun event in and of itself. And then
I was going to say, so there's, and there's tens of races that are going to be
absolutely, yeah,
through this lottery.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a game within the process. But it's a lot of fun to be a part of and to help oversee.
We're speaking with Bill Cadigan. He is the chairman of the Illinois State Board of Elections. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. I'm speaking with Bill Cadigan. He's an attorney from Winnetka and chairman of the Illinois State Board of Elections. And we've been talking a little bit about, this is the busy week for filing of candidacy petitions. Obviously, we're waiting to see in the 4th Congressional District with Luis Gutierrez deciding not to seek re-election, what's going to happen there and who's going to file for that. All kinds of races that we'll get an indication of by 5 o'clock on Friday. But not everybody necessarily makes that deadline, right, Bill?
No. In fact, there's some you toy with that deadline at your peril. There's been some legendary stories over the years about candidates that waited until the last day to get everything, all the petitions in, and you've got to collate them, you've got to number them, you've got to bind them and get them down to Springfield. One candidate hired a small plane to take him down there, and there was going to be a political operative waiting to meet the plane, meet the candidate and the petitions, whisk them to our offices. And when they took off, they approached Springfield, and the airport was socked in. And the campaign operative was also a military pilot, so he knew the people up in the tower. And he went up there and said, well, why don't I divert you over this field, and you can drop the petitions down into the field, and I'll take them. And the people in the tower said, no, you're not dropping anything from the skies over Springfield. So the skies parted. They were able to do the visual landing and get over there with 10 minutes to spare. The candidate ended up losing the race, but they got there.
But they got on the ballot, though.
Right. And another famous one involving a mode of transportation is, Rick, down in Springfield, the freight lines that run through kind of the east part of town, our offices used to be on Spring Street, and they were near them. And as this candidate, and I don't know where they were coming from, but as they approached our offices, they were 5 blocks away when a freight train came through and the gate arms came down, and it was one of those long 100-car
right.
freight trains, and they had to wait as this thing slowly rumbled through.
But and they go slow,
they
too.
And they blow their horns.
Yes.
If you spend
time
in Springfield. And when the candidate got to the office, it was 5:05. So the staff accepted the petitions and the nominating papers and stamped them with a time of 5:05. There was an objection filed against that candidate for not timely filing the petitions. And that objection was sustained. And they were knocked off the ballot because it says 5:00, not 5:05. And the candidate that was knocked off the ballot was upset, very upset, and blamed his opponent's attorney, who was Mike Casper, who's got a reputation in these things for being able to get things done. And he actually claimed that Mr. Casper arranged for the freight train to come through at 4:45 and the gate arms to come down.
Mike Casper and his connections with Mike Madigan, they're powerful, but I don't know about speed control on freight trains.
I think you're right, but I don't think it hurts Mike's business at all.
Exactly.
For people to think that he can do that. So
yes.
When I've asked him about it, all I can get out of him is kind of a laugh. So
the trains in Springfield where they have rush minute and the traffic forecasts in Springfield actually forecast train traffic for motorists.
Yeah, so anybody that's headed down there today or tomorrow, keep all that in mind. Get there early.
I want to talk to you about an issue that's come before the board. It's the effort to try to find duplicate voter registrations that go across state lines. And Illinois utilizes two systems. One is known as ERIC, and
right.
that's a system that the state pays to be a member of,
right.
and seems to have more of an independent kind of operation than what's known as CrossCheck. And CrossCheck is the one that's been in the news lately. It's basically run by the state of Kansas's Secretary of State's office. Chris Kobach, obviously, in the news because he's co-chair of the anti-voter fraud task force that the president created, controversy about that. But there's also controversy about the security of the voter data that
right.
is submitted to CrossCheck. This issue came before the board, and the board split 4-4 along partisan lines. But there's now legislation that's been introduced in the General Assembly by Democratic lawmakers to order the state to not participate in CrossCheck.
Right.
I want to get your thoughts on this.
Well, I think we share the goal of getting all the states in ERIC. We're in ERIC, and that was established by the Pew Foundation, and you're right. It now has its own independent governance structure and operations staff, and it's the better system of the two. The problem with it is that of the surrounding states, only Wisconsin participates. The other surrounding states to Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Iowa, Kentucky participate in CrossCheck. So to us, this voter list maintenance isn't done in a vacuum. There's a federal requirement that says states need to engage in a regular, consistent, uniform process of keeping their voter list clean. And in our mobile society, one of the ways that we do that is to exchange voter data with other states, and it gets potential matches get matched up and then sent to the local election authorities to determine if the Rick Pearson who lives in Illinois is the same person as the Rick Pearson who lives in Indiana. And the local election authorities, it's incumbent upon them to do that due diligence. So to us, it was an issue of how do we best fulfill that federal obligation now in staying in the CrossCheck system, getting assurances that the data is going to be kept secure. We just determined that was, for now, what we need to do to fulfill our obligations under federal law. Because if you don't, the Justice Department has a record of coming in and suing, and private groups can sue. And so that's the situation we wanted to avoid. The issue of data security is one we take very, very seriously. In the summer of 2016, there was an intrusion onto our data system. The federal authorities that we worked with to resolve that said our response was exemplary. Our executive director went and testified before a U.S. Senate committee, and the chairman of that committee said that our response was exemplary. So it's a responsibility we take seriously. We believe that by using both systems, ERIC and CrossCheck, we can continue to meet our obligations under federal law and keep the data secure.
And I think there's one concern is, and it's not from Illinois because of the kind of federal mandated way to maintain the roles, and that, you know, a certain letter has to be sent out, and,
yes.
and this, I mean, a formal way to see, and if you don't hear back from after so many times.
That's a very labor intensive.
But Illinois does that.
Yes, we do. And then there's been no allegation that we don't do it well.
But it's the fear of other states
yeah.
using data, and there's a lawsuit in Indiana over
right.
being able to use cross-check data without having to necessarily go through
right.
that process.
Yeah, that lawsuit's in its early stages, and obviously it's one we'll watch. But Indiana has kind of a record of not doing this well, and even predating that lawsuit, there was one in 2006 that said they hadn't done anything for years. So that's the problem that results. If you don't do this sort of regular housekeeping of these lists, the names grow stale, and you engage in these hurried up efforts where, you know, you can end up doing it in a hurried, not deliberate way, and canceling registrations of people that should be on the rolls. Now, even to cancel a registration in this day and age isn't something that poses a big problem, because a lot of states have same day registration. But it's an inconvenience. It slows the line at the polling place, and a lot of what we do is to keep the elections and polling places running smoothly, and having clean lists does that. And really, one of the underlying reasons why this isn't really a voter fraud issue, it's an election administration issue of keeping the lists clean, so that when county clerks send out your voter card, they're not sending out 40% of them are to people that have died or moved. There's a lot of expense associated with it too. So keeping clean lists is something that is just a good practice with election administration.
And I know another member of the board said that Kansas had said that they were going to take steps to
yes.
try to ensure.
Yes.
Given what I heard in some of the legislative testimony about basically using antiquated security systems for data that includes, you know, last four digits of a social security number, and even the fact of just somebody who had sent a FOIA got back passwords and administrators' emails.
Yeah,
and things.
They were old passwords, but
understood. But yeah. but nevertheless, it's not the kind of security type you would expect in this day and age. When, as you noted, after what the state board went through, and you know, we know it was the Russians. That's what the feds say.
Yeah.
In this era of cybersecurity, at what point, I mean, does the board revisit this issue, regardless of the legislature?
Yeah, I think it's one where you have to have a constant process of voter list maintenance, and IT and security very much is a part of that. So, yeah, it's something we'll continue to watch and consistently improve upon. And if I share the goal of the folks that want to move everybody to ERIC, it's just a matter of how quickly we get there. There's nothing that I can do as chairman of the State Board of Elections to compel Indiana to join, or Iowa or Missouri. They'll have to, I think, ERIC, and like I said, Illinois, we have a seat on the board of ERIC. We're going to work hard to get those other states in. It's just a matter of time.
All right, real quickly, for information, you want to do a little public service?
I think that as people watch elections, and if they don't necessarily support a candidate, but they want to get involved, I think becoming an election judge is one very interesting and fulfilling way to do that. You go through a day's worth of training, and then you show up very early on the day of the election and greet your neighbors as they come in. You get paid for it, and you can do that just by going to your county clerk or local election authority website and find out when the training's going to be. And I would encourage everybody to do it. I've done it. I learned a lot from it. I thought I knew a lot about elections and election law until I actually sat in a polling place for 12 hours.
And you can bring Hooley's book with you to read it.
Exactly. There is some downtime. You can bring a couple of good books. But, yeah, don't plan on reading them early in the morning or late at night when people vote. So.
That's Bill Cadigan. He's chairman of the Illinois State Board of Elections. Bill, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Pleasure to be here.